Hi everyone. Today we're back in John's first epistle, chapter 3. And this morning we're going to be looking at verses 11 through to 24. So if you'd like to have a look in your Bibles, 11 through to 24, John's epistle, 1 John chapter 3, 11 through 24. Okay. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother was righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. You know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. This is how we know that we belong to truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is the command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it is by the Spirit that he gave us. So far, there seems to be repetitive themes that run through 1 John. Contained within the first five chapters, there is this re-emphasis on specific points. This would include God's love for us through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, the assurance of forgiveness when we confess and turn to our Heavenly Father, living a righteous life in Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit, and also continuing to abide and walk in Christ. But equally emphasised is the love that we should have for God, for the Lord, and for one another. I've heard more than one Bible expositor say that 1 John is like a mirror that we hold up to our soul, that will reflect back where we really stand with God and where our heart and maturity are in regards to our walk with him. And John can't seem to express this enough when he constantly comes back to loving one another and loving the brethren. Verse 12 speaks of the world's first recorded murder account in Genesis chapter 4. Cain and Abel brought an offering before the Lord. Cain brought the fruit of the land, and Abel brought the firstborn of his flock. God accepts and is pleased with Abel's offering, but isn't so with Cain's. This leads to a fit of rage and jealousy towards his brother, Abel. And when he has the opportune moment, he kills his brother. Now we could here say that in some way this is a picture of the gospel, that Abel took the firstborn of his flock and offered it as a sacrifice to God, pointing to the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary, that enabled the gulf between God and man to be bridged. And equally, we could say that Cain's efforts are representative of man's attempt to appease God by his own produce, his good works, etc., to win the Lord's approval. But of course, we know it's only the complete work of Jesus on the cross that covers man's sin. But what a terrible thing hatred and jealousy and envy are, and how destructive and corrosive they can be in the life of a Christian. Verse 15 says that whoever Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and eternal life doesn't reside in him. Now, this is a serious matter. If we're harbouring any such feelings, particularly towards a brother or sister in Christ, it needs to be hung out, hung up, and crucified. And if we don't love our brothers and sisters, the scriptures say that we're abiding in death. Now, the Romans and other secular scholars in the ancient world would say, look at how they love one another, speaking of the early church. And that edict hasn't gone away. In fact, Christ commands it in all of the Gospels, as do the apostles in all of their writings as well. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to get on like a house on fire with every believer we meet, or we're going to agree on every point. We're going to gravitate, of course, towards people we share interests with, things that we have in common, theologies we agree on. In fact, there will be tensions and differences amongst us at times. But that's why Jesus in the Beatitudes says such things as not to look upon a man or woman with lust, as it's akin to committing adultery in your heart. And do not be angry with your brother or sister, as it's likened to murdering them also in your heart. Jesus knows what we're like. Once those thoughts are there, you're on the road to doing that you harbour in your soul. And that for some can be a lot sooner than they imagined. Jesus saw the danger. Cain and Abel's screams at us in Genesis to what happens if we are not controlled by the Spirit and we're sowing to the flesh, the old man who wants to be the boss in our lives. Friends, do not hold on for these feelings for one second. Take it straight to the foot of the cross. Take hold of him, Jesus, for all you need to overcome, and ask him to renew your spirit and put within you a pure heart. Christ is willing and able to do it, and he's more than pleased to do so when we seek of him. You're going to be fed all sorts of garbage that we can use to justify our feelings and resentment. People will tell you, you have every right to hold on to these feelings, these emotions, this anger. But what does John say in verse 16, which is one of the major tenets of our faith? By this we know love, because he, Jesus, laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our life for our brethren, for our brothers and sisters. This fits exactly with Jesus' words in John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no man who lays down his life for his friends. In Romans 5, verses 7 to 8, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, but a good person might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, all of us are beneficiaries of God's love through Christ, and this should be the antidote to any hatred or bitterness that we hold on to in our hearts. Jesus, by his supreme example, shows us his servant heart, and that is what he asks of us also. To lay down our lives for the body is the highest of callings. It could be that we are asked to physically give our lives to save another, or in the ministry of Christ that Christ has called us to. Many throughout history, and indeed today, have given their lives for the glory of God and his kingdom. But more often than not, it will be in the Lord's service, giving of our time, our energy to help others, having that servant heart, metaphorically speaking, being a foot washer. More often than not, we won't get the accolades or the credit for what we do. Most of it's going to go unnoticed. And the old saying is, isn't it, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. But your reward will be in heaven. And we do this unto the honour and the love of God, because he commands it. As it says in verse 18, let us not love in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. Actions speak louder than words. Love finds expression in our deeds and our works, how we care for one another, considering others before ourselves, all part at the process of laying down our lives. And verse 19, and this will give us assurance and a peace in our hearts. We know that when we are truly following him, following this command of Jesus, that we're in the right place. We are fulfilling his will and his purpose in our lives. Verse 20 and 21 give us confidence as believers. It says here that if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. The Holy Spirit is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything when we sin and fall short of God's glory. He convicts us and draws us back to him. The Lord sees all our motives and intentions. But that's not to make us feel worried or to let our conscience condemn us. How easily we fall into a dark place when we've sinned and all sorts of despairing thoughts go through our mind. But the Holy Spirit's role is to gently draw us back to correct. And as we go deeper with Jesus, we get more alert and wiser to sin. We don't keep falling down the same manhole, as it were. Praise God for his correction, though. It means he cares, that we are his. Remember that he chastises and corrects those that he loves. It means that we're on the right track. Just finishing off today, let's look at verses 22 through to 24. And it says here, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Philippians 4 verse 19 states, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now this scripture is not here to support the prosperity gospel or those who see God as some sort of celestial genie. What it is a sure promise that if we are in him, we can truly trust in the Lord to furnish and equip us with every spiritual and practical gift to accomplish the work that he has for us. But in verses 23 and 24, there are three stipulations that the Lord and John lay down for us here. Firstly, and obviously, we have to believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this isn't just some mental assent and acknowledgement of who he is. It is to trust completely in his saving grace and also to love him with all our soul, our mind, our being. But secondly, also to love one another. This echoes the first two of the Ten Commandments, often said to be the most important, because if we genuinely do these two, love God, Jesus with all our being and our neighbours as ourselves, then the rest of those commandments should fall into place pretty smoothly. Thirdly and crucially, he who keeps his commandment abides in him and he in us. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit he has given us. Too frequently today the gospel is presented and people are told just to believe. But as we saw earlier, repentance or turning from sin is a requirement to right fellowship with the Lord. And so is keeping his commandments, which can only be done when we are abiding in him. Jesus says in John's Gospel, if you love me, keep my commandments. Because the Lord doesn't just want to save us. He wants to change our lives. If we don't obey his commandments, our walk with him and our witness to the world around us is going to be superficial and shallow. So what's the take out from today? Well, to summarise, as believers, we cannot let hate have dominion over us. If we retain it within us, it will eventually manifest itself in all sorts of evil ways. We cannot be vessels of Christ and let it so embitter us, because the Holy Spirit can't or won't move, and that fellowship with our Lord will never be right. If any of us are harbouring such bitterness, we need to come to Christ and lay it down. Seek his healing and peace and be able to let go and forgive. It's vital that we do this. And if you're struggling with this, share with a mature and trusted friend in the Lord to stand with you on this. Throw off anything that will hinder you and stop you from completing the race. The only hate that we should entertain is to hate the works of the evil one and the works of darkness and the things that God hates. That is Jesus demonstrated at Calvary and his time amongst us. The greatest love one can show is to lay down his life for his friends. Maybe we could be called to pay the ultimate price, as Jesus did, or just give off our time, energies, love and service to our church family. To remember that we have an advocate in Christ, that when we feel convicted and that the work of the Holy Spirit is an assurance in our lives, that the Lord is working and perfecting us for his glory. That the Lord is able to give all his riches from his storehouse to enable us to fulfil the purposes that he has for us. He really will give us the tools to do the job, and that the Holy Spirit witnesses to our spirit to give us that affirmation that we are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Now, I know that in many ways that the phrases are often repeated in John 1. I'm sure we'll see the same as we go through chapters 4 and 5 later on, maybe in a few weeks. But remembering that old political slogan from the 1990s, back to basics, it's really good to go back and take a rain check on our progress. We can never do that enough as believers. It's a bit like having a cake in the oven. It's good to check on it every so often and to make sure that it's not getting burnt, it's still moist, it's not being burnt to a cinder. So, bless you all today. I hope to carry on with John in a few weeks' time, and we'll be picking up in chapter 4 next time. I believe we've got Gordon doing the message. Is it Gordon? George? Oh,
Gordon
Hamilton next week. So, via the wonders of video screen and all that. So, hopefully, he'll be on there. But lots of issues to think about today, and quite intense at times, but we need to consider these in our heart as believers. So, would you just join with me in prayer as we finish today? Lord, thank you for your word. It does correct us. It does put us back on line, in track with you. And Lord, we all need that correction because we want to follow you. We want our lives to reflect the best of you. Lord, that we may grow. You use these challenges so that we develop our gifts and our character. And you want to perfect us, Lord. Father, you want to change us from one degree of glory to another. And Lord, we want to be those people. And Lord, if we are struggling with bitterness, envy, hatred inside today, Lord, just flag that up in our lives, Lord. Help us, Lord, to put that issue right. If we're holding a grudge, a resentment, things that aren't right, Lord. Lord, we want to be filled of the Holy Spirit. And we want to give no place in our life to such things. And Lord, help us to love one another. Lord, help us to realise and to remember that the greatest love we can show is to lay down our lives for one another in your service, Lord. Our Father, just be with us through this week. I pray for next week as we come up for our anniversary service. I just pray your blessing on every brother and sister here today throughout this week. Keep them safe, protect them, and may they know the fullness of your joy through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen.